Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Federal.
Swammerheist.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
1 million rubles.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor All-Stars. I'm your host, Shannon Gus, here to talk about week 4. I think we're on 12 episodes in, halfway through the season. It's been good, but it's been a fast run to get through the season. But to talk about another great week of Australian Survivor, I have an amazing guest to do that. So please welcome in the reigning Australian Survivor winner, the great Pia Miranda. Pia, how are you?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm good. I know someone's going to take my crown very soon.
Yeah, that's not cool. That's completely uncool. At least it won't be another winner like a Shane or a Jericho, so there can't be a two-time winner.
Yeah, true.
Because you'd have that issue if you were in America right now, you know, Sandra.
I know, Sandra must be, like, really stressed.
Exactly. So for you, it's like the winners went, the first two out.
I know, no it's sweat. Like someone else just joins the family, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, look, the winners being the first two out, maybe it's a blessing in disguise that it was a quick turnaround for you and you couldn't go out. Hopefully, maybe if you go out again, it would be a better instance for winners.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing when people ask if you're going to go back again because you think, well, I've got more to lose than gain at this point, you know? Like you go in, you play once and you win, and that puts a massive target on your back. So, you know, I think it's impressive that Shane and Jericho went out there, but, you know, it's not a surprise that they went out pretty quickly. Saying that, I mean, taking a winner to the end is not a bad option because you could, like, argue that they don't need to win. You know,
I do think that it would be so impressive that they made it through again.
They might just get it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, look, I still think there's a lot to gain. Like, there's a small chance you could win $500,000. And I don't know if there's a lot to lose. Like, I don't look at Jericho and Shane so differently. They went out, they came home, lived their lives, were out there for a few days. And like,
and they played well. Yeah. They played well while they were there, you know, like they did a good job. But it was a quick turnaround. There was no way. I just still got over it.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Yeah. Like, I mean, props to like my crew who went out there and played again because it would have been really tough because it does take a long time to mentally and physically get back to yourself. So, to really smash out two seasons is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, for all of them who went out, I don't know how they did it. There's not a lot of people in Survivor history who've had that quick a turnaround, let alone 5 in the same season.
I know. And I mean, so some like Abby, who was there like for a really long time, that's tough. I know she said she did get there the first day and was like, what am I doing?
Yeah, understandable. But like with those season 4 contestants that you're watching and all of it, what have been your thoughts just generally on the season so far?
I mean, I'm enjoying the season. Like it's an odd season. I feel like it's got a very unique vibe. Do you feel like that? Like it's sort of there's something odd about it, and I probably good odd, but I feel like I'm not sort of getting across the alliances as much. And maybe that's because people aren't in as tight alliances. Like I can sort of see a few people like, you know, Harry and Shawnee, like where do they fit at the moment? They sort of fit at the bottom of an alliance, but they don't really feel like they have this great footing. But I have noticed a lot of the contestants are really kind of coming out on Twitter and saying, no, this is what really happened.
Yeah.
This is what really happened. So I think maybe the edit's not lending itself to what's really going on out there.
And I know that we don't see all of it. And I'm sure, you know, any season that people probably think that's not what really happened. I wonder, is it more just that like they're all stars, they have this platform, they kind of feel like they can go out and have their say, because it is every episode that we get a tweet or a Reddit thread or an Instagram comment. I don't know. Like it's a lot.
I do think so. Like I think if I went out and played again, I mean, I know me and Janine were like really pissy when the second episode of our season happened and we did all this stuff to make, we flipped Abby over. And then they changed the edit to make it look like Abby just Dave and Luke did the whole thing. We had nothing to do with it.
Running
and
theme.
And Abby just flipped because Dave had a good six pack. And like us three girls were sitting there just going, what the hell? But we didn't kind of feel like we could, you know, get involved at that point because we were just newbies. But I think now if something that intense happened, I'd be like, hey, you know, Abby's a grown woman. She didn't just flip because dude has a six pack. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's probably second time around. I definitely think that's what it is.
That must contribute to it. But I still feel like, well, maybe that's now influenced my thinking of the editing. I mean, the editing, I think objectively really does have its flaws. The fact that we got Flick's first confessional this week and then
she went
home, and the Brooke Flick thing was such a short-term arc when it could have been really ingrained from the beginning. Like, it definitely has massive flaw. I mean, I was looking at the confessional chart today. Like, Dave has something like 90 confessionals and Jackie has like 5. Like, it's crazy, and there are definite flaws, but I also think that when you have contestants who we have online relationships with coming out and telling us their story, which is their prerogative to do, it does make you think maybe even more than usual, like, okay, well, maybe the editor's like, it's even worse, because while we kind of just accept usually that we just like are accepting whatever narrative is on TV, we're now like a lot more cognizant of the fact that everyone's saying it's wrong, and we just kind of doubt everything now. No trust anymore.
And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think the edit really does change things around a lot. You know, and I think the fact, that Dave has had so many confessionals and we barely got to see Flick. And Flick was apparently like a great person out there, just like in our season, Sammy. I mean, it was you know, apparently quite a big presence, but she didn't get, I don't think Sammy got any confessionals.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that it's always women. Like, I don't know what's going on in the edit suite that, you know, there seems to be, I mean, it's also coincides with this sort of over-sexualization of the men in Australian Survivor that doesn't really seem to happen in American Survivor as well, where we have to sort of dedicate a whole scene every episode to a guy getting nude. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Or like, the girls can't control themselves because Lockie's hot. Like, it seems to happen in every episode. And I can't think that it's unrelated to the fact that the women aren't getting as much attention as far as their strategy goes as well. So I don't know if there's possibly an issue in the edit suite, or whether it's just sort of the tone that they've decided to go with, because you can't sexualize women on television anymore. So it's an interesting conversation to have, but I do think it is unusual that it's always the women who really, you know, have a lackluster amount of confessionals and we don't really get to know them.
Yeah,
I would have really liked to get to know Flick. I thought she was a great character.
Yeah, I mean, for Flick's fans who got her for this short time and didn't really get to see her, like, that really must be devastating. Like, I just have always thought that Australian Survivor knows how to edit more for the flash, and they're just better at editing men, whether it is, yes, okay, their butts are out, or
oh my God, snakes, like every or their...
Yeah, there's a lot of butts. You know, whatever it is, I've gone back to it. It's been that marooning thing all over again. The fact that most of the categories were filled by men, if you're a hero, if you're a physical presence, if you're a big player or a snake, like, all of those were mostly the men. And then there was a group of literally just women. Jackie was in it, Flick was in it, a lot of the people who have less confessionals were in it, except for Shawnee, who's had a lot.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like this group of women that were just like, question mark. So I just don't think that they know how to tell those stories as well, whereas like big flashy or funny scene involving like some big character that they can put into a neat little box is easier with men. I don't know why.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think Dave is really good at confessionals. Like, he's that sort
of definitely,
he
definitely
performs a lot, which, you know, really appeals to people because he's a funny guy. Like, I love Dave. He's hilarious. But also apparently it's not really representative of the game he was playing. Like, apparently the game he was playing was really low key and understated. But if you kind of notice, Dave's story is told mostly in confessionals, but not really on the ground, unless he's finding an idol or doing something sort of funny like that. So I think, you know, I think maybe, I don't know if it's a prime time thing, like they knew that they sort of know that they want to get ratings, and maybe they sort of feel like big personalities get ratings. But for me, like, I'm an old school Survivor fan. Like, I just want to see strategy. I don't need 10 minutes of balls and butts like in my Survivor episode. I'd rather see the girls like, you know, having some strat. So, but I'm still enjoying it saying that. That's just sort of my, you know, me having experienced it, I guess I'm more aware of that stuff.
I think it's definitely a prime time thing. That's a really good point. I mean, last night they were up against the Married at First Sight episode, spoiler alert for Married at First Sight, where there was a wife swapping incident and then someone put his wife's toothbrush in the toilet.
In the toilet,
So it's really just like, it's toilet content. Like, they're having to like almost like, not like lower themselves, but I guess to a point, like, yeah, lower themselves to the big flashy moves, the narratives that make complete neat sense, and people's butts to compete with, to try and compete with this other content that's on prime time.
And it's like, for real old school Survivor fans, it's a little bit sad. Like, you just go, that's 10 minutes of every episode that I could really get involved in strategy, because there's so much more strategy going on. And I feel like just a little bit, I'm not getting as invested in some of the relationships that I really think, like, the last few relationships, like the Flick and Brooke relationship and the Dave and Phoebe relationship, I really wish I'd seen more of that, so that, you know, when it fell apart, the stakes were higher and I really felt more.
Well, I want to talk about, you know, these relationships as we, like, kind of get to the week specifically, because I feel like Brooke and Flick was edited terribly. The stakes were way too low for a 4-year grudge match that we were all kind of waiting for. But Phoebe and David, I felt the stakes. Like, this to me was one of, if not the most intense part of the season, to see, like, a really renowned player in Phoebe go down this way. Brutally, I would say. And I was talking on Twitter a lot, and it seemed to drive a lot of conversation in either direction, that I just felt weird about, or I felt unsettled watching it. I don't know. People could accuse me of being biased. Like, I'm, to be honest, a bigger Dave than a Phoebe fan. It's not a biased thing at all. I just felt very, very weird watching it. Did you feel the same?
I did. I felt really sad. Like, it was, you know, I know in our season, occasionally things got a bit nasty between some people, or some nasty stuff happened and they really didn't show it. And I think, you know, some stuff happened to Simon that they didn't show. And I felt like, I'm glad they didn't show it, because I didn't want it on TV. You know, I mean, I didn't do anything, but, you know, some people were really mean to him. And so this was really raw and it was on TV, and I was a bit shocked that we were really seeing this really sort of, it was just an icky part of the relationship where I really felt like Phoebe really, really felt like they were really good friends. And I think it felt like more than the game to her, which is always hard to watch.
Yeah. Okay. Like, your season to me, like, from what we saw, was so fun. And it felt like, just like, something that epitomized that for me was, like, watching Sean and Dave, who'd been, like, the biggest rivalry, get to Jury Villa at the same time and then just, like, play golf and have fun. And at the same time, I was watching Survivor South Africa, which was extremely dark. So it felt very contrasted. And I kind of know what you're talking about with the Simon stuff and, like, the fake idols, I assume, is what you're referring to, the fake clues and stuff. And that's something that I've kind of laughed along with, because it sounded funny and Simon wasn't a big character and stuff. And now that you put it in that light, that it was kind of mean.
Yeah, sometimes stuff happens. Like, you know, it was mean at the time, with people laughing at him in the shelter and him being really upset. Like, you know, that stuff happens. But it also happened for us, that stuff happened very late. And when things like that happen very late, everyone's sort of losing their mind. So you can forgive it. Whereas I feel like this is really early for things to get nasty. You know, by the time you get to day 40, everyone's just losing their stuff a little bit.
All-Stars is intense for the players and the fans, because we know each other and they know each other, and, like, it does feel beyond the game for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, look, I felt the same. I sort of, you know, one part of it, I'm like, oh, good on you, Dave, you stole her idol. But then I didn't really understand why he did that whole big blustery thing and showed the idol at Tribal. I thought he could have just... I mean, she was really loyal to him, so I didn't really get it at that point. I thought keeping her around was more beneficial to him than getting rid of her. But I might have been proven wrong. But I just thought, he can be suspicious of her, get rid of her. You've got two idols, you can get rid of her anytime. But not bad to take someone who's really loyal to you to merge.
Mm. I didn't hate him getting rid of Phoebe. Like, at this point, and it may be his own doing. In fact, it's definitely his own doing, but he doesn't have any trust in her. He has such a negative relationship with her, at least on his side.
Yeah.
Cut the cord, keep the idol. I didn't have any problem with that, especially looking at, like, the group of people he's ended up with. I mean, it's a dream to have Zach, Mo, Jackie, and Tarzan. He's trying to, you know, pull in Sean and Lee for numbers, but, like, I don't see anyone there who can kind of bring it, you know, up to Dave's level, where someone may be on the other side, like a Phoebe and her allies on Vakuma or Nick, maybe they'd be able to kind of play that game with him. I see him, like, leaps ahead of at least most of these people he'd probably beat at the end. Like, if you're telling me I'm jumping ship to that ship, like, that looks good.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, yeah, he's on a tribe of people that he can easily beat at this point. But the fear of that is also, are they going to work that out and get rid of him?
No, because it's group, I don't think. Like, I don't think so either.
Oh, my God, I'm the same. I'm like, just no one, why is no one even mentioning
is
getting rid of Dave?
Like, no. Sorry, but no.
It's so true. Like, I mean, I know Dave's a good person. Those people are always good people to take to merge because you know you can always get a group of people to get them out, you know. So big players, you know, great, take them to merge. That's one vote that you're not going to go home. But I'm really confused as to why all of them, like, we want to work with Dave when Dave's clearly, like, the front runner for a win at this point.
I know. It seems so obvious to us. It should be so obvious to them. This is why I'm saying I love that.
They've played before. Like,
Tarzan barely has, to be fair.
Right. And did you not watch our season? Like, get rid of Dave. He's amazing.
Yeah. They watched every bit except his blind side. Like, they watched all the good parts and skipped the only bad part. Like, yeah, I loved strategically what Dave was doing, to be honest. Most of it. There were definite flaws there. But yeah, to jump to that side, the fact that he and Phoebe did technically come in a minority position, she goes home, and he's worked himself into at least several new alliances. I think that's really impressive. Like, he could be in the same spot as Phoebe. He could have gone home. Instead, he has new allies. He has two idols. The way that he manipulated Phoebe, something I've described as similar to JT and Russell, which we look at as like huge thing. She doesn't give him an idol, but she gives him the tools to find an idol. And as she's talking about how she trusts him more than anyone, he's laughing in confessional about how he's going to absolutely destroy her. So while it's cruel, and I still want to talk about why I just felt really weird about it, but strategically, I got no problem. Like, I've got very, very few problems with Dave. I mostly loved it.
Yeah, I mean, to get anyone to give you a clue to an idol, like, knowing that you're going to be separated looking for it, that's just, I mean, he's played her really well. Like, that's just really good gameplay. And then the fact that, you know, I mean, she didn't have an inkling that he was against her at any point. She really trusted him. And to get someone else's idol, that's just really awesome. It's really pretty awesome.
And I said to her in the X interview, I said, you know, we saw a huge shift from Dave after you didn't vote with him at the original vote where she was voted to fire. Did you sense that from him? And she said no, because Dave was so there for her emotionally and continued that social relationship, obviously flawlessly. And that, I mean, you don't even see that. Like, we see Phoebe doing something that seems so stupid to us, like telling Dave, you know, as it's counted with him laughing at her in confessional. And I'm not, like, saying that was good. It was bad. Like, her read, she was illiterate when it came to Dave. And that, to me, has always been, like, you know, the cardinal sin in Survivor. Like, her read was terrible. It was completely wrong. But, like, credit to Dave that he could make someone who's a confirmed great player feel that way and just completely pull the wool over her eyes in a way that may be one of the more impressive times we've seen someone do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, like, Phoebe is a smart player, and she was sort of across what was going on. I feel like she had really good spidey senses about everything that was going on in camp. But when it came to Dave, it's like he just played her really well. And that's the sad thing about Survivor sometimes, is that, you know, you can't edit the social stuff because the social stuff goes on for hours and hours and hours. So sometimes social players don't get the credit they deserve because, you know, the social stuff is going on 24 hours a day. And so that's probably what we missed with the Dave and Phoebe thing, which you cannot edit because you just don't have the time to, is just the, you know, 24 hours a day that he's putting in with her to make her feel okay.
I do think the emerging strategy now, talking it out with you, I think they showed your social game really well because you won and they had to kind of try and show that. I think they showed Shawnee well, but I think if characters in the future strategize naked, that's how they'll show it.
Maybe everyone should just get nude, but then the girls wouldn't get any airtime if they got nude anyway. I agree. I think Shawnee's getting a good social edit, and I definitely think, you know, because I was the winner, they obviously made an effort to really try and show mine, whether it's people talking about how good socially you are. Like, that's a really good way that they do it. And Shawnee's the same. You can really tell that everyone really likes Shawnee on the tribe. I think Dave, you know, as far as that whole sort of stuff with Phoebe and everything, I think he's really the really thing that's keeping him on track and keeping him safe is Mo. Like, I think his relationship with Mo is a really smart move.
Completely agree. That's ended up being more crucial than I would have thought from where they came. I mean, I'm still interested to see where it would go, because I do think if anyone from that group is going to come from at a point, I think Mo is the person in that group who might have that thought. It seems like now, like, they've got, like, a more intimate thing with Sean and Dave and Mo, and even he says, like, you know, we could do Nick and then we could do Jackie, who's been her number one ally. I don't know if she's into that because we didn't hear about it, but it feels like they're talking about, like, some pretty intimate plans. Yeah, it looks like a more crucial connection than I would have thought.
Yeah, and maybe the fact that he's got Mo now is the reason why he could let Phoebe be dispensable. Mm-hmm. You know, like, take someone new. This is a relationship that's a bit sort of, it's got some icky stuff behind it. So let's just cut the cord and make a fresh start.
Yeah. And Mo comes with a lot more allies. Again, like allies I think that I would love to be aligned with. Like, yeah, I mean, Mo's a great person to align with. If he can get into the same spot Matt Rogers was in, that's a brilliant place to be, except with two idols. And all of those allies and Zach as well. Like, there's a reason they were scared of Matt Rogers, and Dave is really getting into that spot that Matt Rogers could have been in.
Exactly. And I think that's definitely an alliance that I'd be trying to get involved in, is you can sort of sense that people are, Mo's got something about her that makes people loyal, and Shan is just sort of an even keel. I mean, even though she had a bad episode, let's not lie.
She has been a bit all over the place.
But Shan, you know, as far as personality goes, she's a really even personality. So they're people that are good to be with.
Yeah, I think for Dave, like, it can be both things. Like, yes, he's vindictive, he's emotional. I genuinely think he was upset, or maybe not upset, but insulted that Phoebe didn't go with his plan to vote for Nick, even though she would have gone home that way anyway and she was trying something else. But he's insulted by that, and it is emotional, and there is vengeance, and that was true of the Daisy thing, but it's also great strategy. Like, I think for Dave, more often than not, it's truly both things.
Yeah, like, you know, if you can't trust someone, then just get rid of them. Makes sense.
Yeah, especially when you have better options, or at least other options.
Yeah, I just really thought she was so loyal to him. But then, yeah, you're probably right. It's hard to know in those situations, but it was a good move. I think it was a good move. He stole her idol. He got rid of the person that was working against him, and now he's solidified himself with Mo, which is, I think, more important.
Yeah, and in the same way that you definitely could have been fearful of Matt Rogers getting back together with his allies on the other side, Phoebe right now is vulnerable. She doesn't have a lot of options. And if they merge, he is getting back with her whole alliance. So
yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah.
And she's threatening. She's always threatening just by being Phoebe. So I get a lot of it. I think that, like, okay, well, to come down to it, like, him taking the idol out of Tribal is something I want to discuss strategically, but I also think that this is where it kind of comes down to getting a little ugly for me, because the strategy we'll debate. There's strategic reasons to do it. There's probably a lot of strategic reasons not to do it as well, but I genuinely think just kind of knowing Dave by hearing his voting confessional, which was put obviously right next to her final words, or more like final silence, where she's devastated and he's gloating, it felt like theater, which it often is with Dave. It felt like he was trying to humiliate her. I don't know. It felt beyond strategy. It's not beyond him being a TV villain, and that's completely his prerogative to do that. I just think maybe knowing Phoebe, it felt, you know, knowing her as a character, it felt kind of ugly. And also just the fact that, like, the idol thing is its own thing, but Phoebe was going home anyway. Like, before she had given him the clue, she had already been sent to fire. She was in a bad swap position. She wasn't in a good spot. Like, she's the underdog that he's beating up on. This isn't like Dave and Luke getting to a swap and flipping the table on, like, seven faceless contenders. Like, this is the underdog who we know, who we like, getting destroyed, maybe definitely beyond what was strategically necessary, and maybe in a way that just wasn't super fun TV as much as it was good TV.
No, I didn't enjoy it. I definitely didn't enjoy the moment when he took out the idol. And I was wondering, like, because Phoebe pretty much knows she's on the chopping block. And I was wondering if at that point she knew he was against her, because I found it weird. Like, if that was my number one ally, I would have been like, please play it for me. Like, I would have asked them to play it for me. Mm. You know, I'm loyal to you, please play it for me. And we didn't have that moment. So I wonder if she already knew, or whether she was just so defeated, like, she couldn't think straight.
Mm. I think seeing the idol, you wouldn't even consider that he has two in that moment. You know, like, that's your idol. He found it without telling you. He's been looking with you, obviously, while having the idol. So I think that, like, there were the layers of betrayal in that moment that did kind of make her realize, not only did he find my idol, which he doesn't need to use, it's not really that big a part of me being voted out, other than the fact that she doesn't have the idol to use for herself, but he's actually not going to vote with me. And he, and not having him and Zach was the reason she went home. Like, actually, him not voting with her was way more crucial to her getting voted out. But him taking the idol and then pulling it out and betraying her, that way became the flashy theater move, when really it was just very simply him not voting with her was quite a simple vote betrayal.
Yeah, and I just think, was that pulling the idol out, was it just a little bit of, like, sort of, haha, I found your idol? I mean, I just think...
Well, you know, Dave, is that what it was?
It's hard to know. I don't know. Like, it's hard to know... I feel like maybe a little bit, like, maybe he was just having so much fun being the villain in that moment that sometimes it doesn't, when you're watching it back, it doesn't come across as how it feels at the time. Because if he's not as invested in that relationship with Phoebe, then to him, the stakes aren't that high. He's like, yeah, this is just hilarious. But she's really invested. And so we sort of saw that relationship through her eyes. And so that's why we feel hurt as a viewer. But even strategically pulling out the idol, I mean, there were two things weird about it. Like, one, I feel like you pulled it out to go, I found your idol. But it was weird to me that she didn't go, is that my idol? I would have been like, is that my idol? Give me my idol. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would, but I feel like she was too defeated to fight. And the other thing is, why show it? Because then people are just going to want to flush it.
Yeah. I mean, like, Luke said on Talking Tribal, then you would never think he has a second idol. I mean, I think I would be like, what more tricks does he have up his sleeve that he's willing to show this to me, whether it's another idol or who knows what? That would make me almost more suspicious. It obviously just heightens his threat level. Like, look, people have thrown out why you would do this strategically, maybe to try and strong arm the vote. Someone like Shan, make sure she votes with you. Ironically, we'll talk about Shan. It actually seems to have the opposite effect. Maybe, yeah, you know, for jury points, to claim it as your move. I still think for someone like a Nick, like, that could have an opposite effect because it's so ugly and it's not even at the jury phase yet. And also Dave would probably just win a jury vote by being Dave. So, like, for every strategic reason, I see reasons not to do it. And I just can't, I think what definitely got it over the line for him was, like, the TV moment and, like, humiliation. If I'm wrong about that and he didn't want to humiliate her, then his final words, A, make no sense. And I'm happy to apologize and, like, be wrong in that moment. I just don't think that's true.
Yeah, I think sometimes, I mean, obviously there's a lot going on with the Dave edit where it's a lot about TV theater. And so I think sometimes his moves, I think he's making to make good TV, you know, as opposed to thinking about the strategy. I really think that's what it could be, because that, you got two idols. There's so many good things you could do with it. You could bring people in, like, let two people know and pretend it's your little secret, because you've got another one in your back pocket. So it doesn't matter if it gets flushed. And then you can use that to work out whether people are really loyal to you, because if they tell other people about your idol, then you know they're not loyal. You can play it for someone else to get them to be loyal. So there's so many things you can do when you've got two idols that to just sort of whip it out, for lack of a better word. But
it's going to get airtime.
Yeah, it's going to get airtime, but it's kind of stupid. Like, it's not very smart. So yeah. I honestly think it was just for good TV. I mean, Dave's not a nasty person, but definitely not. Like, he's a really great guy. But I think, you know, sometimes that sort of playing the villain, sometimes you don't always read the situation.
Yeah, I felt like they're all signed up to play this game of Survivor, and that's true. But I feel like he and Phoebe were playing different games. And some people may criticize that. Phoebe should know what she got herself into. But, like, it felt like Phoebe was playing this real personal thing. Apparently she was struggling on the island. He was really there for her. It felt very real. And he's playing this, like, it's all a game. He stands up to give her a hug. Like, maybe he doesn't realize in that moment how stark that difference is and how it's going to come off as, like, pretty callous. And he thinks, like, Phoebe's a big game player. And when she was, you know, on the bottom of her first season, she was idling people out and doing all this stuff and whatever. Like, it's a game that she'll get. And maybe he just didn't realize that, like, as he's, like, barreling through everyone in this powerful way, he's kind of leaving everyone in his dust, and they're not really agreeing to playing this cutthroat of a game with him. They should have, and I get that they signed up for it, but you also can't deny when, like, feelings come into it. You can't blame someone for being like, when did we agree that we were going to humiliate each other or be cruel to each other? And he'd be like, it's just a game. It's just a disagreement at that point. But that difference, I think, is where the uncomfortableness comes in for us as viewers.
Yeah, and, you know, yes, it is just a game, but you cannot help forming real relationships out there, like, at least one. I mean, you know, I know Janine and I had, like, what was an absolute real relationship, and if she had have turned on me, I would have been really shocked. Like, I would have been like, wow, wow, I read that completely wrong, because there's a comfort in finding one person that you can trust, and from there you can play a game with, like, an anchor, you know? Like, you can sort of see everyone else as it foils your game and not really feel anything for anyone else, because you've got this one person that you can trust and that kind of keeps you morally grounded. So, you know, it's hard not to do that. And even me, you know, super fan, I went out there going, it's just a game over anyone out. And, you know, you can't help but really forming relationships.
Yeah.
Or at least one.
Well, it's a game and a TV show, especially for Dave. And I think I would feel better about it, and this is still a possibility, if it really was all for TV. Like, if nothing was personal for him and it was all personal for Phoebe, that's just an unfortunate difference of their relationship. But if there was anything a little bit personal for him, it makes it a little ugly for me. I haven't really loved their relationship. I felt it a bit toxic last week when she's, like, groveling to him. He's so unforgiving. If he really was offended by the fact that she didn't vote with him and really felt on any level, on any actual personal level, that she should suffer for that slight and she should be humiliated for that slight, that makes it that makes it ugly to me, especially. So if it's a TV thing, it's still ugly, but I think he just, like, didn't realize what different planes they were on. If it's a personal thing where he feels like she needs to suffer for what she did in any capacity, the punishment or not for the crime, and it was ugly.
Yeah, and I mean, that happens in Survivor. Like, you've got to jump back. I mean, you know, look at, I formed an alliance with Luke and Janine on day two because they told me, like, or day three because they told me that they voted for me, and I was like laughing going, oh my God, that's hilarious. And then we formed an alliance from that. And, you know, when we blindsided Dave, Luke didn't take it out on anyone. He just bounced back and was like, cool, you know, that happens on Survivor. You just make those choices sometimes and you leave someone out and that's fine. And, you know, if he had, I think, wallowed in that and really kind of gotten angry, then he wouldn't have got as far as he did.
Yeah, I mean, Dave has seemed, like, for all the revenge talk and the vindictiveness, he has largely seemed fine. Like, as I said, the Sean Hampton stuff was all water under the bridge. He voted for you to win when you were way more part of voting him out than, obviously, Baden. He, like, he gets revenge on people, but it's never seemed particularly ugly. It has all seemed in-game. That's why I'm wondering how much of this was TV, how much of this was personal, and maybe that's what's getting a little bit lost in translation.
Yeah, I mean, because as, like, oh my God, I was about to say as an actor, geez, like, really? Oh my God, kill me.
At least you didn't say this is All Stars.
Oh my God, this is All Stars. I swear they told me to say as an actor. I swear I didn't do that. But, like, when you're performing on stage, right, there's a thing that happens where, like, you perform and then you get a laugh on a line. And then the next night you're expecting that laugh. So you kind of perform it a little bit differently and you don't get the laugh. And I think that can sort of happen sometimes in this sort of situation where Dave's probably seen himself in the first season and really just seen how brilliant and funny he was. Mm-hmm. And perhaps now he's just ramped it up a little bit and he's performing a bit too much for the camera and it's not as funny.
This is a phenomenon for returning Survivor players. I could call it the coach effect or the effect, you know, doubling down on that character that, you know, everyone really liked the first time. And it's never quite as great as the first time. You never get that genuine authenticity quite back. If you're a good enough character, which I think Dave is, it's still going to be great.
Good TV, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a reason that people who come back, you usually remember them for, like, the iconicness of their first time. Like, that is what was a little bit more real. And, yeah, they're definitely playing for a reaction. And Dave definitely fits in the Coach and Rupert mold of doing that a little bit.
Yeah, Rupert was a good one. Like, you know, Rupert was so great the first time and not as the second time. But
diminishing,
you know,
returns with these. Yeah, kind of,
but yeah. I will say, look, I know Dave really well and I played with him. And, you know, when he saw his blind side, he rang me. He was like, it was hilarious. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
So I don't think – he's not a nasty person, but I think he's sort of – he's really playing it up and playing the game. So, you know, I can't guarantee, but I mean, you have to ask him, but I don't think he meant to be as cruel as it came off. I really wouldn't. That'd surprise me because he's pretty light of heart, but he's got a very dry, dark sense of humor. And sometimes that can just not read very well.
Yeah. The fact that he played off his own blind side in your season well, that speaks well to that. Because if he was hypocritical about it, it would be, like, almost infuriating. But the fact that he did go for the hug, I do think there was a sense of, like, gotcha, like, aren't we playing this game? And she's like, no, I'm not playing this with you. And that maybe he didn't realize, but it's hard because all the lines are blurred. None of this is so distinct as, like, he's a character or a person. Like, he's both things. He probably is confused with it. Phoebe's confused with it. We're confused with it because it's all quite blurred.
Exactly. But, yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, he does see the funny side of things and especially the dark stuff. So I'd be really shocked if it was him trying to be nasty. I think it was just him trying to make great TV because he's not, you know, he's not a vindictive, nasty person at all.
I would say strategically, I would have not taken the idol out, like, just in that.
Oh, my God. Same here. Like, I'm just like, why do it? Why? I mean, maybe he was just having too much fun, but, oh, my God, now they're going to try and flush it. It's just a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you can go to, as you said, particular people. Like, you have two idols. I feel like there must have been a less threatening, less scary, and more productive way to use them than just being like, hello. So if it really wasn't, it must have been a TV thing. But beyond the TV thing, there is strategic merit to it, but I still wouldn't have done it because there's way more strategic disadvantages, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you can surprise people with an idol then and play it for someone else. Like when we knew Daisy had an idol, then we worked out who she's going to play it for. And then you can't surprise anyone. Whereas if we hadn't known about it, she could have played it for herself and, you know, someone else would have gone home. So it's tough. It's a tough one. Cause when you've got two, you save that like second idol for final six, final eight, because you need it. Like,
well, you would save it for final six, final eight. Dave is just like wearing them around camp, probably.
I know, but you got one to play with, like one to have fun with. And so to kind of blow it in a moment was sort of, I was like, no, Dave, don't do that.
Yeah, and to talk about that, I feel like we need to get to Sean, because it does feel like he actually turned Sean off in her vote based on the voting confessionals that were on 10 play. Because it seemed like Sean went in there wanting to vote for Phoebe, went up for her first vote, which we saw on TV, and was like, Dave is doing something weird. I don't know what. Went out for the second vote and said, okay, now that I know Dave isn't playing his idol on you, I can vote for you. And voted for Phoebe and after voting for Mo the first time. So it actually feels like it had negative effects, because it just scared his allies into being like, what are you doing? This isn't what we talked about. So negative effects there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Sean was really sort of, she doesn't know him that well yet. Like, she doesn't trust him. So it's really scary when you get into tribal council and stuff starts happening and you don't really understand what's going on. And then you just start thinking about yourself and your own safety. So you want to make sure you go with the numbers. So I think that, you know, Sean's playing both sides, which is really clever because it's close to merge, but at some point she's going to have to pick a side, I think.
Yeah, at what point is that? Because actually the season is like 12 episodes in and I don't think she's fully picked a side yet. Like, the fact that she went in, voted for Mo, and then voted for Phoebe, I was like, this personifies her entire game right now. I don't know where Sean was this week. Like, she obviously, you know, voted for Mo out of fear, and we've drilled down, okay, we've solved that problem.
Yeah.
But then she comes back and talks to Dave and Mo, and she says, and she even says it in confessional, but we know the truth, we saw it on 10 play, and the confessional also kind of sounded like they cut out the part where she says, this is what I'm saying to them, because the story was like, oh, I wanted a safe face and everything like that. I don't buy it because it's obviously not what we saw in the votes. And also, like, just tell the truth. Just say to Dave, like, look, you took out the idol. I wasn't expecting it. I really want to go with you. I really like our new alliance. I thought you were going to play it on Phoebe, so I was just trying to follow you, and I didn't know where you were going. And then once I saw what you were doing, I switched back. Like, you were the one who did this crazy thing. So I don't know why she can't just kind of, like, be a little honest in that. Be like, I screwed up, but you confused me. And I'm not confused. We're fine.
Because I think Sean sort of had did that, you know, that's how she lost Matt's vote in her final tribal, was really not just owning a move and going, ugh, I stuffed up or whatever it is. I think, and I learned from that in my final tribal, I think, like, you've got to, if you stuff up or if you make a choice, just, you've got to just own it and be honest and go, I was freaking out. I didn't know what was happening. Or you, rather than sort of playing this idea of if you sort of let people think, oh, well, I was tossing up between you and someone else, that's not going to come across well.
Yeah.
So I think she probably got caught off guard, but you do get a bit of time after tribal to work out what you're going to say to people. So I would have definitely just gone, just own it. It's going to be fine.
Mo seemed fine, but obviously they have their real life friendship, as we've talked about. Like,
yeah.
For Dave, like, I would kind of get, if that's the story he's getting, that's not super trustworthy, because then it's like, well, you just voted to save face. Like, you can tell me if you're going to do that. I mean, we've seen people do that. Survivor South Africa last season, there was like a whole plan, like three people voted incorrectly. They spoke about it with their allies before, and there was like no confusion about it because it had been well planned. Whereas like, if this is the actual truth, which it's not, that she was just trying to save face with Nick and Lee, it's like, well, why are you trying to do that? Why wouldn't you discuss it with me first? Are you really with them? Or because she's saying, I did it for us so that I could be a mole. It's like, well, then tell me beforehand. So
exactly.
It's not a good excuse. And I actually think the truth makes her look much better, which was just like, I'm not disloyal. I was just very confused. And can you blame me? Why did you take the idol out? I don't know what's going on. Like, just do that.
Absolutely. And I think Dave's really easily, you know, he doesn't, if you're just really honest with him, I think he's okay. I think when you sort of try and talk your way out of it, like, I remember when we were in tribal council and we almost voted Luke out, but we voted Sean out instead at the last minute, and Dave like caught me being dodgy with Simon, and then he was like yelling at me in tribal going, what are you doing? What's happening? And I'll be, shut up. It was, I wish they put on TV. And afterwards I sort of came back and was laughing. I'm like, why were you going crazy? Like, what was happening? Like, of course we were voting out Luke, and, you know, of course we were voting out Sean. So I sort of made a comedy thing about it. It made it quite comedic. And then he was sort of okay, because, you know, I think that if I started to be really snaky to him, he would have been on to me. I would have been like, I'm really sorry. You know, I thought this was happening and I didn't. He would have come for me the next vote.
Well, I mean, Sean's been in all of these camps, but now the camp that she crossed was Dave. And, like, I would be worried if I was her because David's so vindictive.
So vindictive. Like, I'd be really worried. I think I'm hoping for Shan that Mo's going to keep her safe. And, like, good play by Mo. Like, her best friend has tried to vote her out and she's like, I'm cool. Like, that's good play. Just to be completely cool with it because you know you're going to merge and you don't want to start making enemies before merge.
Yeah. Just to get to some other people on this tribe, let's talk about Nick, my poor friend, who I'm so...
I like him so much. Me too. Is that weird? Too. I just like him so much.
Me too.
Like, I want him to be okay. I feel like he messaged me and he was like, oh, I was really hoping you were there. And then I was watching him going, I wish I was there too because I'd look after you, like my poor baby.
I know. And his confessionals just bring such a smile to my face. Like even when he's in a bad spot, like his confessional last night, I wasn't having a great day, but then turn it on to this like classic Nick confessional where he's like, this is the worst night I've ever had in Survivor. And I got voted out twice on the same season, which is a high bar or a low bar if you think about it. Like the fact that he can like make fun of that, like I'm biased. He's my friend. I loved him on the season. Like, he's such a good narrator and
He's great.
I'm just concerned.
I'm concerned for him too. Like, I really wanted to just dive into TV and be like, it's okay, I'll align with you, mate. Like, don't worry. You know, and it's a really sucky feeling when you feel like, I mean, I had that at finals 8-6, really, or to 5, really. When you feel like you just know you're on the bottom and you don't know if anyone's going to play with you. And it's really tough, but he's doing a really good job of keeping his spirits up, which is really important.
That's what I love as well. Is like, I think he has really good reads. He's been really calm under pressurized situations. Like just the fact that he was like, Dave's wearing the idol, but that doesn't mean he's going to play it. And the fact that when, you know, the first votes came in at that Phoebe tribal council, Phoebe was like, did you vote for me? And Dave was like, no. And he was like, yes, you did. You voted for Phoebe. Like he was called it out, just like completely new from the get go. Was so honest with it. Like, I just love, like, kind of that just, like, calm confidence from him.
Me too.
But to talk about the advantage, because a lot of people have said, like, well, why use the advantage? Because it, you know, didn't work on the revote. So it obviously was just, like, a lot of time in the episode that ended up failing. Like, this extra vote, I don't know. It's such a useless advantage. It's only good till the merge, so it's ending soon. This is the best chance that he has at numbers. I feel like they were just throwing everything at the wall. Every vote, every tool, every person they possibly had. Because where else is it going to go? Like, they're going to merge soon. He's losing an ally if it doesn't work out, which he did in Phoebe. What to do with this useless advantage, honestly?
I mean, I don't think it was stupid to use it. Like, he obviously thought he had more numbers than he did. So I think it was a smart thing because you do know you're going to merge. You know that you can't use it at merge. And you're thinking, well, I can go to merge with one more number. So it's just as good almost as, you know, saving myself. I just think it was unfortunate. Like he just didn't read the votes right. He thought he had more people than he did.
Yeah.
And it just sucks that he couldn't use it at the revote.
Yes. Can we talk about how much that sucks? Because this advantage sucks. I'm so done with these extra votes that are so useless. I mean, at least make it a steal a vote. At least if it's that power. But like the extra vote, so useless. It doesn't work on the revote. They've had two odd number tribal council now because Phoebe didn't go home. And it's only good to the merge. So like it's so circumstantial that it would have any power, especially, you know, because it can't be used at the revote. Why can't it be used at the revote?
I don't know. And maybe, you know, if he'd known it was close, maybe it would have been better to save it till the revote. Like that would have been a good idea.
Is that something he could do? But he would have never got to the revote without it, to be fair.
Yeah, oh, that's true because there was 9 people. But that's kind of a cool thing. Like you could use it at the revote because it's just a piece of parchment that you get to use at any point.
Okay.
So you could wait till the tie. Yeah, there wouldn't be a tie. I mean, it's weird to use an extra vote when it could be a tie, when it's a 10, because you know that you could go home like wasting your advantage.
Yeah, I just, okay. I choose a serial music because I have been investigating this all morning. Firstly, Stephen Fishback on Twitter says that at least steal the votes, but he's not so sure about extra votes, can be used at the revote. So that we know. Mm-hmm. Now, the steal a vote and a tie has happened before in Australian Survivor. The steal, not the extra vote, when Shawnee voted against Shan at the Benji vote. Shawnee said on Twitter today that She could not vote in the second round because it didn't carry through. But I did go back and check the episode, and JLP very clearly says, Shawnee, you can't vote in the second round because you stole Shan's vote, and because she's the one in the tie, she can't vote, so you don't get a second vote. So that indicates that it could be carried through, but she just should have stolen, like, Shane's vote or something, and she would have got Shane's vote. So JLP and Shawnee actually don't agree on this, so that's where I've stalled in my investigations.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm confused about what the protocol is an Australian Survivor. I'm confused about what would be so wrong about making it have power on the revote, because it's just like, it's so meaningless. Just give it more power.
It is like, if you're going to use it, I think definitely use it when your vote's going to make an odd number, not an even number. But I think from my understanding, if you get that piece of parchment, you can use it at any point, at any vote. So if you didn't use it on the first vote, you could use it on the revote.
But because Shawnee or JLP indicated that not only could Shawnee steal a vote in the first round, that it would have carried through and she could have done it on both. True for American Survivor. So yeah,
maybe because it's like a physical thing that you use, you know what I mean? Like maybe because the steal a vote is sort of,
yes,
it's not like a thing that you're given, whereas the extra vote is like just one piece of parchment. So it's good for one.
Okay, my brother said that exactly to me last night. So I feel like he's going to be like, the fact that he had the same thought as you is going to be like, because yeah, I that's what he said. Is it just the fact that Shawnee got an advantage? Like, this is an advantage. You will steal a vote, and Nick got a piece of parchment. Because if that's the reason for a difference in mechanism, just based on prop, I don't love that at all. That's not the reason that something should be game changing.
No, and sometimes those like advantages and sort of things, they're a bit messy, and I feel like they do make it up on the fly.
Yeah.
But my instinct would be, if you get given a piece of something, you can use that once.
I honestly feel like if you were to say to one producer, like, why can't they use it at the swap? At the revote, it just makes more sense, and it's like better TV, and it makes it more powerful. They'd be like, yeah, why not? Like, I just feel like they haven't thought about it.
Totally, I feel like that too. Or you know, if you had stopped it and been like, ask someone, you know, can I use it again? But yeah, I feel like it's just a physical thing. I feel like that was it, which was sad, but sad for him.
So,
like, damn it.
So sad. Poor Nick. The whole game relied on that.
Frustrating. And of all the people, I mean, our favorite guy.
To be fair, Sean would have flipped back. So I actually don't think he had the numbers anyway. But it's still like the principle still stands and the investigation is still important. That he would have had more power if this was a more powerful advantage. And who knows at that point, maybe then they can kind of like appeal to Sean or whatever. At that point, it was gone. Like, obviously, Sean's going to go with like the extreme numbers.
Because
at that point, it's a landslide and they've lost. But I do think if anyone was interesting in this vote as well, it was actually Lee. Because Lee went from voting for Phoebe to authentically voting with her, not because he was scared of Dave's idol or anything like that. Like, it felt like that connection maybe from their early days in season one was prevalent, that real-life friendship was prevalent, and he actually flipped back. So he's not in a great spot, but I find that interesting.
Yeah, me too. Like, sometimes I think those things are – sometimes personal relationships come into it, or you're thinking – when once you get to Merge, you're really thinking ahead. You're not thinking about just that one vote. So you're thinking, who do I want on my side at Merge? And so I think that's probably what he was thinking about, like if I could just take more people and have more people on my side, I'm going to be okay. Because someone like Lee, some like, you know, Dave, those sorts of people are going to be really targeted once you get to Merge.
Yeah. So he was cool. Who else? Mo Hope. We didn't even talk about Mo Hope. This was a good week for her. Like, she never wants to leave the shelter, so she's like come up with a strategy to make it work so she doesn't have to, which honestly, I can respect as someone who doesn't leave the house. I feel like those things are kind of comparable. Like, I also would be like, how can I put in the maximum amount of work to expend the least physical energy? I get it.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of that idea of like, don't talk strategy unless you have to. So Moses, like, my shelter's my thing and people can come to me when they want to talk to me. And I feel like she's got people loyal to her, so she doesn't really need to run around camp and sort of create all, you know, some madness. I think she's doing an authentic job as far as her game goes, which I really like to see. You know, I hate it when everyone goes into Survivor and is sort of that, I mean, I don't want to like steal from like winners, but you know, that kind of new school thing where it's all about like being crazy and making crazy moves and finding idols. And then people aren't just playing authentically to who they are. And I think that's what Mo's doing. Like, she's just playing, this is who I am and this is how I'm going to play. And if I'm going to play to win, I'm going to play being myself.
Yeah, and people have said that. It's like she just is an introvert. Like, she's going to be introverted. And Survivor's a social game, so she's making it work for her. But, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of the time I'm an introvert, and that's one of the reasons I wouldn't want to play Survivor. Like, I feel like Survivor's a social game for a reason. Like, you being such a social player and known as a social winner, does it work that she's, like, that it's an almost anti-social game? Like, it's with her people, and she's definitely made strategic moves and pulled people in. But the fact that she doesn't want to, you know, actively go out and just, like, have these social relationships, even as she said, maybe it's more one-on-one than in a group. Again, yeah, that's who she is as a person. That's fine. But does it work for Survivor?
I don't know. I mean, time will tell. But I don't mind it. You know, I think one of the things that I saw out there, you know, a lot of people really just went against their own instincts to make good TV, and that ended up putting a target on their back, you know? Like, even in my final tribal, people were like, what's a crazy lie and move you lie that you told around camp just to make everyone feel crazy, like they didn't know what was going on? And I'm like, I didn't, because that's going to make you go home. Like, mm-hmm. I just never did that.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of the people that I felt did really well and do well are people who just authentically play as themselves. So I couldn't play as anything other than a social player. And I think Mo is like, yeah, it's a social game, but I'm going to play that in smaller increments rather than being the life of the party. Because you can't go in and kind of, you know, hold court and be the life of the party if that's not who you are. It's just too hard. It's 7 weeks. It's 24 hours a day. It's really difficult. So I think she's gone in and she's getting people to be loyal to her. And I'm enjoying seeing a different kind of social game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it has extreme benefits and she's got a lot of numbers and that stuff's impressive. I do think it will have its flaws. She's in a really good spot. She did have a really, really, really good tribe swap.
Yeah.
But, like, just look at how negative the relationship really seemed with Phoebe. That's on both of them, obviously, like, you know, takes two to tango. But it's like, okay, is she only good with her people? If she needs more numbers, if she loses numbers, can she get more numbers back? She obviously did get Dave, so, that, you know, but he had the Matt Rogers thing. Could she do that herself to get a number that's not just her people? Can she get jury votes that aren't just her people? I think, look, yeah, if you want to play an antisocial game and that's who you are and you do it fantastically, it could work out. But I also think, like, you're playing Survivor on hard mode because that makes it really difficult.
Yeah, like, you're going to have to bring more and more and more people into your fold. Otherwise, you're going to either get to merge, and then you're going to have a jury filled with, you know, 80% of people who don't know you or don't like you and 20% of people who are super, super loyal to you. So you've got to bring other people in. And I was surprised that Phoebe didn't go and try and make amends with her. Like, I would have done that. I would have been like,
far gone, to be honest.
Yeah, but you can always give it a shot, I think. But yeah, look, I think Mo just had it in her head. She didn't like her and that was it.
It seemed like a lot. Like, that tribal council where they kind of talking about all the reasons that they don't get along, it seemed beyond saving to me.
I know, and I feel bad for Phoebe because I don't know if she did that much to invite all that negativity, you know?
Mm.
Sure, she didn't go along with Dave, fine. And, you know, she voted for Mo, but she hasn't sort of done anything. She hasn't been, like, nasty or revolting out there. She's just sort of made the wrong moves. But it's really – it came back at her hard and in quite sort of mean-spirited way.
That's another thing that also felt, like, way too real, as these All-Star seasons kind of can. She said in the exit interview that she thought she came to represent that whole majority alliance that had been on top of the Mo contingent at, you know, early Vakama. So maybe that it just, they, you know, she was the only person except Dave who'd been working with them who was still on that tribe. So it just kind of was made sense to funnel all of that negative energy to her.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but I do think, like, Mo had her best week yet, I would say. I was going to say you can't spell Makuta without Mo or AK, so.
Exactly.
It must be her tribe or AK.
Yeah.
TBD.
Yeah. Look, I almost think I think Mo's got more power than Dave at the moment. I know the edit is showing Dave to hold the cards, but I think it's really Mo that's sitting there with the power.
So true. But again, such a great sort for her. And, like, I would put, he does have two idols and I trust him to play better in the future. I've seen more. Like, she's done well, but I've seen more proven brilliance from him, so I still feel better about Dave in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you just don't know what's going to happen with tribe swap. Like, it is great when you, I mean, I got a great tribe swap, so, you know, and I mean, so did Daisy, and she ended up sort of really just getting rid of her own, so you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. But I think that, you know, Mo's going to be one to watch it merge, because she might isolate herself or she might have a group of people that are so loyal that they won't vote her out.
It is really interesting because we've seen people play without the tenet of the physical game. You know, Sandra's won twice, never won a challenge. Like, yeah. It's not important. It's a thing that makes it you threatening. Tommy said that last season on US Survivor. I don't want the outplay portion, you know, and now we're seeing Mo kind of be like, I don't want to do really like the social thing. She does it to a degree, but she doesn't want to do like the general social thing. Like the way I see Nick, for example, and yes, he's on the bottom, but the way I see him being so actively social and like every bit he's in, every joke he's in, every game he's in, and I know he narrates a lot of this because he's just a good narrator, but it feels like he's putting in every effort. You even see Jackie saying like, I like you, and he has like no strategic relationship from what we know with Jackie. So it feels like he's just trying to be, he said tribe cohesion, he said it last tribe, he said it this tribe. It feels like he's trying to be like the big communal social player, and that's not the game that Mo wants to play. And I'm interested to see how that goes out. I'm not sure if we've seen someone before be like, I just don't want to do that, and I'm just going to play it my way, and I'm just going to traverse a more difficult path because it's more like more who I am.
I wonder though, like even when you're not, say you're not a physical player, there's still a thing when you get to a challenge, you give like 100%. So to be a non social player and to not make an effort is an unusual choice. You know, like I was fine in the individual challenges, I completely fine. But in those team challenges, I mean, I really struggle. But you got to show your tribe that you are like 100% just ready to kill yourself for your tribe. And I think that has to be brought into the social game as well. Like you have to try. I think I'd like to see her try a little bit harder.
Yeah. I mean, saying I refuse to get out of the shelter but I'll make it work for me is fine, but it is like kind of sitting out of the social game. You're sitting out of that big 50-day-long challenge.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think most people would just be like, I'm just going to push myself to be social in a social game. Yeah. She refuses. Like, it's interesting.
Like, look at Baden, you know? I mean, seriously, like, it was a struggle for him, and you really had to get to know Baden one-on-one before you could really bring him into a group. So, you know, I'd sit up a lot with him till like 2-3 in the morning just chatting about stuff, because that's how you brought him out of his shell. But he really became like a big, funny presence around camp where he was super shy in the beginning.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like she's like not into the growth arc, more just into like making it work for her. And if it does, and it has been, you know, you've got to give credit to that.
But I guess once you get to merge, like you've got to really think about your jury management. That's the big thing.
Yeah, like to talk more, you know, about Mo, but getting to this like cake reward, which was hilarious. You know, Mo goes second and is looking under things. She's like, of course I look for an idol, but she's looking under things. I'm just screaming at the TV like, it's in the cake.
Oh my God. Like when Phoebe cut the cake, I was like, thank God. Yeah. Like, why would you not cut the cake? Thank God, Phoebe. I mean, and also once you've been to a few rewards, you realize it's never on like the, it's never like under things like on a, you know, a bit of block of wood or anything like that. I mean, anything like that. You really need to pull things apart. I mean, I enjoyed Nick so much. Like, no one else is coming, and he's just like going nuts in there.
Yeah,
but, yeah. I was so happy when Phoebe cut the cake. I'm like, you're just eating all these cakes. I thought they would have baked a clue in the cake. That's what I thought would have happened. You know, like a little kind of piece of paper inside. But I was happy she found it.
Yeah, I mean, like to go around like Tarzan and Mo did and just like look under things. that's never it. It's not just like on the side of the popcorn. It's not on the side of the nachos. It's in the cake.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when we had a reward, we were just smashing things. Like we were smashing bits of food to look inside.
Yeah. That ended up being like a very powerful reward challenge because it seems like obviously whichever tribe won, it was going to get the clue to an idol.
Yeah.
And now that one tribe or Dave has two idols.
Yeah.
And the other tribe doesn't have any idols. And I think that's probably why they put in the advantage for Harry to kind of even it out. But it's actually not that even. So that's a big difference. The fact that I feel like everything's been weird. Like Pandora's Box, they won an entire award basically just for that thing, for one thing to get. And it was
good
like,
TV, but it was weird.
Yeah, it was for such a useless advantage. And then this they won, and it was like an idol, which is the most powerful thing. With the ice cream. And then Harry just finds something and it's like the medium level advantage. Like I feel like these three could probably have been reversed. Like it probably could have been an extra vote with the cake. Harry could have found an idol, and Pandora's Box could have been something new and interesting, like the advantage that Harry found. That feels more right than the way that it was.
Yeah, I'm almost feeling like the advantages and some of it are just a bit of an afterthought. Like the Harry's advantage just felt like they just chucked it there that night because they were like, oh, we should just put something else out there. And I'm not a massive fan of too many advantages and stuff. Like, I don't know, because I just feel like too many sort of just muddles the game for me. You know, I mean, that whole like when the two of them went to that, I never know the name of that island, what's it called?
Island of the Idols or?
No, Extinction. Like when Sonny and Zach went to
Exile,
Exile. I always get confused with American Extinction.
Fair.
when they went to Exile and then they just came back, I'm like, what? Like, what happened? Like, is that, it just says sort of weird stuff. Too much of that weird stuff doesn't sit well with me. I just like, you know, I'm a purist though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least these things are, besides the idols, like temporary advantages. In the case of the extra vote, like fairly useless advantages. So it didn't feel like so extreme. The twists have felt like a lot. I want to talk about Harry's advantage as well when we kind of get to that. But like the cake reward. This eating reward that they're doing every season, it's always a fun time. Like, it makes sense that they do it. The eating was hilarious. Everyone coming back with cake. Apparently, it was even, like, worse than what we saw in terms of how gross everyone was. Like, complete animals, which you can kind of see from cake was on every body part that it shouldn't have been when they got back. But is there a way to change this up? Because it's going to get stale. Everyone, except it seems Mo and Tarzan, knows it's in the food. Whoever gets this first,
gonna be an event.
Yeah, like, or like, and at least knows, which at this point every person should just need to look in the food and they'll probably find it. What is the
they
way
should let
to
everyone
this?
In at the same time?
Okay, just Don't you think? Food fight.
That would be massive. That would be hilarious, and then you have to like try and find the advantage without anyone seeing you do it. That'd be fun. So just have like cakes or something. I mean, cake was good, but something really messy like jelly. I don't know, whatever. Massive things of jelly and ice cream and cream and just make people go for it.
Yeah, I feel like we're on a very similar page to my brother because his idea was that you should go in pairs. So at least it's like, but your one's fun too because that's just like even bigger. But I think we're all on the same page of like some sort of accountability. It's not just like you can do whatever you want. How do the pairs get chosen? Is it your ally? Is it your enemy? How does that dynamic change? I do like the idea of like, okay, we've done the individual thing. We know it's in the food. Where to from here? And I think it is probably making it a little less individual, ironically.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there's going to be so many things going on then. Like people, when you're, because you're so hungry, when you're eating and then trying to be strategic, I mean, that's where the comedy comes in, really.
Yeah, because that we wouldn't be able to just dive into the cake. Some of this was so unnecessary. Like the fact that Dave threw that whole table over without even removing the cakes felt extremely unnecessary.
I'm like, Dave, like, you know how hungry everyone is. Just keep it nice.
Well, that's not like, and this is the coach effect because Dave knows the popcorn award was the biggest TV moment. And he knows that the cake reward has to, you know, he can't go in there and
that's why he went
get
in
some
with-
cakes.
Remember, he's like, I'm not going to use hands. And he just puts his face in. So you're like, yeah, look, it's happening again.
But yeah, I feel like everyone kind of had the coach effect for that reward. They were all trying to do Dave's popcorn thing, except Phoebe, who found it and was, like, so classy. The way she was cutting through with that amazing cake cutting style.
I know.
I appreciated it.
I wish it had worked out for her. I would have liked to see what would have happened next.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how this develops. I love that they do it, because if anything, it's always funny. But I do think it's coming to the point where, like, there's less strategy involved because it's just like, okay, the strategy is in who deciding is in deciding who goes first, because at this point that person surely should know to look in the food and will probably find it. So it's just all on the order. And I think there are ways we can progress that to make it more strategically interesting. But it's always funny. I think because we have the worst eating habits. I mean, what must the other countries think about us? This disgusting
thing.
Oh, my
God. But honestly, like, it's so embarrassing too, because when you're there, you're just so hungry. You can't. I remember Janine and I were eating the, like, you know, the hamburger reward. I mean, I just had hamburger all over my face and down my top. So I'm trying to eat quickly so I can get another one before the boys eat it all. And you're like, how is I'm doing this on TV? Like, what the heck?
Don't worry. Like, there's no comparison beyond. No,
no, there's none. Once I saw Dave, I'm like, oh, eating the popcorn. I'm like, I'm good. I'm okay.
The cruelest irony was that I watched the episode, you know, 2 days after my birthday while eating leftover birthday cake. I honestly couldn't finish the slice. I was like, nah. I'm done.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I'm done with cake, I think, forever. I'm glad my birthday was in the past. I'm not eating cake this weekend. I'm not doing it.
No. Actually, the worst thing is when you do get those sweet rewards, you get so sick afterwards. Like, you want savory. You don't want sweet because your stomach, it's the worst. But you can't stop eating because you're just so excited there's food around.
And also, you know it's going to be a GIF. So
yeah, exactly.
Doing it for the GIF at this point. We are an hour into this recap and we have not discussed Matt Rogers. I want to get I always start with Makuta. You know, I find Makuta more interesting, but we got to go to Vakamat, Makuta.
Yeah.
And AKs and all of it. Matt Rogers, the game, it kind of came to its natural conclusion, I think, for him. He tried everything. Did you think there was anything he could have done?
I mean, look, I think all of his moves were really smart and I was really enjoying him and I thought there was really valid points. Like, I thought if, I mean, Harry and Shawnee, I was thinking you guys would be in a better position if you flip with Matt, because you know that Matt's loyal and Matt's also going to be an easy pick at merge. But I think from what I can tell that's probably not shown on screen is that possibly Matt's social game just isn't that strong. And so the thought of really uniting with him wasn't that enticing.
That's interesting. I mean, it might be a bit of the Mo effect where it's like he's always got his people, but then he always has enemies. So is it that thing where you have, you know, quite a just a specific social game and it's not that general? I just think for Matt, like, beyond all the social stuff, like, surely he's too big a threat. Like, who's taking him out at the merge? Is it the group that David just aligned with who were saying might not have a turn on David? Because that's just a great group for him. That's a great spot for him if he gets to merge. Like, I just think, honestly, he was too threatening. And if you let him get to the end, I mean, you let him get to the merge, he's got some extreme, I don't think he would win, but I think he's got, like, extreme legs in the game.
Yeah, look, I think the thing that made him more threatening at merge was the Mo effect. So everyone knows he and Mo are going to hook up together and possibly Sean with him. So, but, you know, I'm not opposed to taking someone like Matt to merge because Matt's such an easy, I would look at it like, who are the easy picks? I was happy for strong people to go to merge because they're not going to come for me then. And that makes me get one step closer to final two. So for me, someone like Matt's not that scary at merge as long as you can get rid of him early enough and he doesn't go on an immunity run.
I don't know. I feel like he is scary. Like, you guys got rid of Dave, who's a big alpha player around that time.
Yes.
But Matt's not that to me because Dave didn't have, like, four minions who are going to vote with him. And I think that Matt has that. Like, I don't really see the Tarzans and the Jackies and the Moes
going against him.
And now there's a side with, like, David in it and Zach. I mean, David would go against him at a point. But all those other people, those are numbers for him. I'm not sure that they're turning on him early or at all.
He is scary with the amount of people that he has on the other side. But then Harry and Shawnee didn't know that he was working with Dave. Or did they? Did they know deep down? I don't know.
Well, apparently they had, like, the mole thing had kind of come out on Buckmore. Right. There is actually some really, really interesting contradictions about this. Because, like, people have said online, I think Flick and AK have been like, Matt told us Dave was the mole. I asked Matt in the exit interview and he, like, unequivocally denied it. And I was like, ooh, this is spicy content.
Okay.
So I don't know. I'm interested. It seems like no one agrees.
Yeah, right. But look, I think, you know, his arguments were definitely valid. Like, these are the reasons to keep me. You, like, Shawnee and Harry definitely, you know, were seemed to be on the bottom of that, on that alliance. And I think that, it's just his social game's not, from what I can have heard, it's not great. So if you're going to jump ship with someone, you really want to make sure that you feel really good about them.
Yeah, and I think socially that six just worked. Like, the way you could see them in the water and stuff. And, like, I watched a couple of secret scenes of that six today. Honestly, content warning, because I was doing research for this job, for the podcast, which I'm very professionally dedicated to. And one of the scenes was them finding a giant, like, worm or grub and cooking it. And I honestly could vomit talking about it now. Like, they put it, like, Lockie put a stick through it. Oh my, and it exploded. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the sea snake, and then you explode and it kind of looks like
it was like a little grub, like a wormy grub. And it exploded and then they put it on the fire and then they ate it. And I actually screamed. And I genuinely am just warning anyone before they watch the secret scenes, just know that it is the grossest thing you will ever
watch. They ate a grub? No.
And they exploded it and then they still ate it.
Ew. Oh my God.
It was the grossest thing I've ever watched. I don't even know what to say about it.
I know people used to, like, stab the sea snakes to make them look like they do this thing where they, like, white foam comes out of them. I don't know why that was going on. It was pretty gross. Oh, that's gross. I mean, I think that, like, Shawnee did a really good job with Brooke. I think that's where some of the strength of that is. I haven't shown much of what Harry's doing, but I know Harry and Shawnee were really tight. So, you know, that's a really tight alliance that Harry and Shawnee, they're not going to turn on each other, it doesn't seem.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about Harry and AK when we kind of get to that vote. I've always thought that was kind of like a closer bond than the edit portrays. And also, they were the only two that didn't eat the grub. So my estimations of them have gone up even higher. I think.
Yeah,
why? No one can be that hungry.
Grub, right? Like, no way.
No, Harry and AK were just like, nope. Yeah. And I respect that.
I know Harry, and I'm like, Harry ain't eating no grub. No way.
No. Oh, it was genuinely. I hope if everyone go watch it now and just, like, report back, it is the worst thing you will ever watch. But, you know, Matt Rogers, yeah, he played. I think he played better this time than last time. And,
yeah.
But he didn't make it as far. So I feel like that shouldn't be the thing, but everyone seems to agree with it.
Yeah, I think he really tried socially. Like, and he really tried to it was good to see his alliance taken away from him, because that's when he had to try and be social. But I think if you just can't get people to warm to you, you can't get people to warm to you. And that's just something that can happen on Survivor. And he just couldn't. You're not going to jump ship with someone if you really, if you think they've got a big alliance over the other side and you think, like, you know, they're not sort of someone that you could see yourself playing with for a long time. But it's a good option to think about, like, taking someone like him, because everyone's going to want him out. You're like, you get him out first.
I think that if he was less threatening and less Matt Rogers and maybe just more like a John,
yeah,
they would have maybe turned at that seven. But, like, yeah, he was there and didn't work, and I don't know.
Nah. I was sad John went, just as a side note. Like, I don't know why they should voted out John. I'm like, just
default
Harry.
Because
Harry and John were really tight, so I was sad for that.
That is really interesting, the John and Harry thing. Like, I asked John about that on the exit interview, and he was like, you know, I thought it would actually have paid off more. It really is interesting that they seemed largely on opposite sides through playing John's whole game together this season.
Mm.
But so with this Matt vote, what was the suspense meant to be? Like, from a TV viewer's perspective, was the suspense really that, like, the majority wouldn't be suspicious enough of Flick and Matt, even if they had, like, extreme reason to be, still put two votes on Harry when they could have just put one vote on Harry, and then Flick and Matt change their votes to Harry, even though Flick would then be switching to a minority and would definitely be, like, more than completely screwed, and then Harry goes home, like, by accident? Because that would have been wild had it actually happened. But that seemed like the only other plan than Matt Rogers going home that was actually given to us as an audience.
I think they obviously worked overtime to try and create some suspense. Like, really, yeah, there was none.
You know?
There was none. And you could see it watching it. You're like, Matt's going home. Let's just fast forward. Like, this is pretty. It's a done deal, you know. But good on you for really trying to create a story out of nothing.
Yeah.
And I do like that about Harry. Harry did that in our season. When there's a solid vote, he knows he's not going home, he'll put his name out there to try and get trust.
When did he do that in
our
season?
Yeah, he did. He, like, you can use me. I think on the day vote, he was like, okay, you can use me as the was it the day vote? It was another vote. He said, you can use me as the dummy vote. And he did that twice. So it's a way he can kind of get you in, like, you can trust me, I'm not afraid, which is a really good strategy.
Some people hated this. I liked it a lot. I love the big move to be social. So often big moves are anti-social players. You play an idol or you blindside someone. It's like, it's a negative social interaction. Whereas this was like, it's a big move to ingratiate yourselves. Like, I feel like that is the perfect marriage of Harry pre-merge in season four and Harry post-merge. It's big moves, but it's kind of like karma and social. I love that.
Yeah, and I don't know if I had the guts to let people put my name out as a dummy vote, because what if someone does have an idol, you know? You're going home. So it's a really clever way of him. Pretty sure it was the day vote, but it's a clever way of him to just go, you know what, I'm on your side and I'm not afraid. Like, I'm not going to sort of get sketchy. Just use me.
I do think, like, obviously Matt just played his idol, so definitely have eyes on him at all times.
You
know, people think, oh, he's had three idols. He's actually only found one in that reward. He's never found an idol out in the woods, because Mo gave him one in his first season. Obviously Henry gave him one, and he found the reward idol. So not that he can't find idols, but he's not as prolific an idol finder as his idol stats may show. But I think just keep eyes on him, make sure he's not getting it. I also think that I don't really get why he needed two votes on him, because the fear was then like, well, what if two people flip? It's like, well, if he had one vote on him, surely that would have been fine.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. You know, you never know. It's always confusing when people start doing the split vote, because you start then questioning, like, why are you telling me to do this split vote? Are you really trying to trick me? And that, it gets really scary.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is maybe that if he'd offered one vote, they'd be like, well, maybe you and Shawnee will do something over the top. So this, like, really, you know, took away, like, defanged him completely, really showed that he could be trusted. And it's just like, look, if they had really any real valid reason to believe that Flick would have done this completely nonsensical thing, they would have been safe and changed the votes to Flick. So it obviously was, like, never an option. This was completely safe.
No.
But, like, credit the show for trying to be like, I guess, like, who's going to get two votes, Flick or Harry? Like, there was no way that Harry was going to go home as an accident. Can you imagine if that happened? That
oh, my
crazy.
God, it'd be crazy TV.
Yeah.
You can feel it when you're playing. You can feel, like, the producers just sighing when it's a really boring vote. Like, you can just see them going, you know, and asking you in your confessional, like, so could you just say this, could you just say, maybe I'll think about voting out so-and-so, just please give us something, you know? So you end up doing it for them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Dave would. But Vakama,
yeah,
like, I've liked, I know that Flick, we'll talk about Flick, she suffered for this, but I like that they played it they played it logically throughout the swap. They took out some big physical threats like Olivia, yeah. like an Abby, Matt Rogers, John. And their group has seemed solid. So I don't know what else people really wanted them to do. Like, I think it makes sense that they played really boring through the post-swap.
I mean, we played pretty boring once we got, you know, to final. Once we got our group of six in first, before we went to tribe swap, we played pretty boring. But I guess there was enough kind of dynamic stuff going on in the tribe that they could cut around it. So I think there's nothing wrong with kind of getting into a really tight six and just sticking with them till you get to merge, because you're going in a safe position.
Yeah.
Do your crazy flipping once you get to merge. Once you get close to merge, just get your crew and stick together, because then you're going to go in feeling comfortable and you're not going to go in as a flipper. You make a big move before merge, everyone's going to be targeting you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, a lot of things, it is situational. It does depend on, like, who are the people at the bottom that you could work with. If they're more like chess pieces than a Matt Rogers, maybe. But I just think with the cards they were dealt, like, it made sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're going in a pretty good position, I think, you know, but they're just so low in numbers.
Yeah, I mean, so low numbers. Flick's obviously the one who suffers for that because she goes home. And to be fair, like, they're not merging next episode. Harry does have this advantage. He could play it, you know, someone else could suffer for this.
Yeah.
So maybe those people should have flipped. But I think the six would have been really happy to work together long term, you know, had they won more challenges and had it not gone down to this. And I still think that, like, all of them had reason to believe that they were safe, that it could have been the Vakama four, but Harry and Shawnee obviously were in a better spot than we saw. So, like, everyone had, some of it might have been wrong, but everyone had felt comfortable enough to kind of go with it.
Yeah.
You know, for Flick, this vote, another one that Twitter is denying. So let me just get that out of the way now that this is the storyline of the season. So it was sold to us as, like, very much AK versus Harry and Flick versus Brooke. And that makes sense because Flick versus Brooke, you might not have known it before this week, but they did kind of have a bit of a history.
Yeah.
So AK has denied this and kind of been like, he was the one going after Flick and not for Harry. And that makes way more sense to me because the way that AK stood up, did a reverse Benji and told Harry not to play the advantage, I was like, well, Harry must be in AK's short-term plans, because there's every chance they don't merge next because it's 13. They've been merging at 12 the last three seasons. There's every chance they lose another challenge because they're the weaker tribe. And so if he's telling Harry to keep that advantage, he must not be expecting to vote out Harry next time either. So that would make me think that Brooke and Lockie are actually in a worse spot. So that makes sense to me that while we see a lot of Harry and AK sizing each other up, they seem like they're friends, but they're threatened by each other. I do feel like a lot of that is just, like, for the future, but short to medium term, I would think that they're, like, really in each other's plans in a very real way.
Yeah, and I think that was such a great move by AK, like, prove that you're loyal, because at the end of the day, if you're looking at, if you are going to go to tribal again, then you are going to want to break up Lockie and Brooke, aren't you? Like, that's what you want to do.
I agree. So, like, I think that the revenge arc could come back to bite Brooke in a negative way, because I think that, like, if they go back to tribal, Brooke's in trouble or Lockie's in trouble. I don't think that AK then is turning on Harry, who, I mean, he has an advantage, but AK doesn't know what that advantage is, and he's basically guaranteed that Harry can't go home the next time. So what is the plan? It must be Brooke or Lockie.
Exactly. So I think I think it was a really smart move. I really like that. And I just love that, looking at Harry's face, knowing he's like, ugh. But, you know, the good thing about watching Harry is that he isn't afraid. Like, I probably had more fear as a player, like, that I was going to go home. Whereas Harry seems to be, like, not afraid to go home. He's like, okay, I'll just make this call. And if I go home, I've played well.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great read, especially when someone has been so famously burnt by it with what Benji did to Sean. I would be very worried. He read that relationship with AK obviously well enough, and that's credit to AK and to Harry that their relationship is strong enough to kind of get through that extremely dicey situation. I think it's always made sense for AK to be with Harry. Like, he's a rascal, he's an honorary rascal, he's a mutual friend on the other side, and Harry had some really great arguments about, like, how he has more connections and stuff like that. Like, I think it makes total sense for AK to want to ride, like, that pair into the merge instead of Brooke and Lockie if it comes down to it. Which, yes, it kind of did. By saving Harry's advantage, that is kind of the choice that AK seemed to make.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing about Harry is that he is actually loyal. Like, he's not, you know, I know he's called, well, I was pretty impressed that everyone's calling him Dirty Harry because I called him, I named him that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, oh, that's cool. he's loyal. Like, he's going to be loyal to you to a certain point, up until a point, if you're loyal to him. So he's not a bad person to take to merge.
Yeah, I mean, I like that from them. What do you think about the actual advantage?
I couldn't understand it. So you get to pause tribal and no one goes home?
Yeah, so it's a non-elimination episode. I'm pretty sure, ooh. I mean, the language was like, you must use it. I don't think they're going to force anyone to use an advantage. I think that it's, you can only use it at the next two tribal councils. So there's one left. They very much encourage, like, you can give it to the other side. So that cross-tribal, yeah. You know, basically production is encouraging that. I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically like putting the non-elimination episodes into the hands of the players. That's new and interesting.
Isn't it? And then what if no one uses it? Then does that mean you've got like a limb that you have to catch up? And that's just my, like,
yeah,
I mean, users. Yeah.
Yeah. You would have to then catch up another non-elimination. Like, I'm confused about all of this. So like, say Harry goes back to tribal council, plays the advantage. I don't know, like, would they then merge with one extra person, or would it delay the merge by an extra tribal council? Like, I mean, that's a lot of power, especially like such a crucial time
in the
season. Production is really putting a lot on Harry. He's a producer at this point. He should get producer credit because his decisions are so important.
He should. I don't know, like, it was so weird to me, but then I think, okay, if you can give it, they've got to be close to merge, because what they said it was day 25, usually merge on day 29. So it's got to be one more tribal council maybe until merge. So if he doesn't use it this time, he's got to give it to someone if he doesn't win, you would think.
Well,
on the other side, which would be so cool, because then you get that person on the other side to feel loyal to you. But it's a big thing because you're just really delaying. Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, if it delays the merge and he gives it to someone on the other side and then they have to do another challenge and then they lose and then he doesn't have the advantage and they go back to tribal council, then he hasn't made the merge and now he's in trouble. So from that perspective, I don't know if he should definitely give it to someone on the other side, but he's obviously got Nick Hughes in trouble. And then if it can just save someone and then they merge, then that's great. So which one is it? Like, I just want to know how the structure of the show is going at this point.
I mean, the weird thing about merge is that you know when this stuff's happening. Like, you wake up the morning like, we're merging today. And you don't know how you know, but everyone's worked it out. And you're always right. Like, tribe swap, you wake up, you know it's tribe swap that day. So he's just got to hold on to it, I think, until he can work out. If there's one tribal council until merge and they don't win, it'd be great to give it to Nick.
But does that change if it's played or not played? Like, is there one tribal council regardless, or does it add a tribal council if someone plays it? Because, this is what I want to know. Is merge dependent on the day that they are going to merge, or is it dependent on the amount of players that they're going to merge with? Because that's two different things.
I reckon the amount of players.
That would mean that it would delay the merge.
Just delay it so you can't give it to someone.
I just want to know what the show's doing.
I mean, I do love it. When I'd be more likely to play an idol for someone than I would be to give my advantage to someone in another tribe. I just think it's too tricky.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is like the one thing where it would obviously be Nick. They've got such a close connection. So, yeah, like, you don't have to doubt that. Like, Nick and Harry are the rascals. Like, that seems obvious. I think the only thing that's questionable about it is, like, literally the structure of the season, which is a weird spot to be strategically, but I genuinely don't know what would happen.
To be, like, playing Survivor and always be like, what about the producers? Like, always thinking about production is very strange. Like, what episode am I good at yet?
This has so many ramifications from a production standpoint that you can't not be, like, heavily thinking about it when you're making decisions.
And it is weird as an ex-player because you're like, oh, you know how much, what parts production gets involved in, what parts they don't. So it definitely sort of changes the way you look at it. But I think that was just, that's just a bad, I think it's a really weird advantage. I don't like it.
I do quite like it because I think, like, they have to do a non-elimination episode. Yeah. And at least they put it in the hands of the players. At least it's a strategic thing. At least, like, the players are driving the action rather than it just being, like, surprise, you couldn't really work around this.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of like an idol, except less powerful because you don't take out your target, but also more powerful because definitely none of your allies are going to go home.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I don't hate it. That's one of my favorite things they've done in terms of non-elimination in a while.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because he didn't play it and I'm a bit confused by it, but if it gets played well, it could be fun. But I was a bit confused. I was like, well, it just sort of delays tribal council and it doesn't seem that exciting to me. But it'd be very exciting if you're the one about to go home and then you whip that out of your pocket. It's, you know, it's basically an idol.
I think that the way that it's relevant is because it's right by the merge. So it's like if you do save yourself for one tribal council and then make it to the merge, then you're in a whole new phase of the game. Whereas like if it was a few tribal councils ago, you delay one tribal council and just kind of like, you know, what Lydia would have been or what Phoebe was with the fire, you just go back on the roundabout. Whereas like Shawnee and Zach, they got voted out, or Shawnee got voted out, came back into a completely different dynamic in the swap and was fine. So I think putting it right near the merge actually gives it like a lot of power and relevance.
Yeah.
I've you know, thrown stones at pretty much every non-elimination twist they've done. This is honestly up there for one of my favorites. Maybe that's a low bar. I like.
I get it. I definitely get it being close to merge, but you know, I think you want to hold on to it for as long as you can, like until it has to be used at the tribal before merge or you're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, they did give it, they said it has to be used at the two next tribal councils, mm-hmm. or that's the only time it can be used.
So you would know if it says that, then you would know that the next one's the last one. Unless, but then you don't know, because then, you know, you could delay it. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't, yeah.
I mean, that maybe that's what's good about it, but. Yeah, I do hate those non-elims where the person who just comes back in is the one who gets voted out. It's super boring.
Yeah, I think putting it right by the merge is like there's a very, very good chance that the whole game changes for that person. They make it to the next phase when they wouldn't have, and then it's a whole different ballgame. So I think that's interesting. They've obviously tried to like do like just giving it two tribal councils. They've tried to kind of put as much of their say into this disadvantage as possible to make it as contained as possible, considering they're giving Harry producer credits. But
I know.
Yeah, they tried.
They tried. And you know what? Like, advantages are kind of cool because when you're in the game and someone reads out an advantage, you're sort of so confused and you're trying to work it out on the fly and you don't know what's going to happen. So it is kind of fun.
Okay, well, we have obviously gone through this episode in depth. So I think we should get to the chizzy. Take it away, Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Color.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1.
As much as I've talked about how unsettled I felt by the actual show, I'm going to give 3 points to David because, you know, two idols is a lot. A new majority is a lot. He's to be okay when he could have been out where Phoebe was out and he was kind of not in a great swap position is great. Like, he's the one who made that connection to Matt Rogers and got new allies through that, and that's paying dividends. He also obviously wrecked the relationship with Phoebe, and he's done some bad social stuff. Taking the idol out of tribal council, I don't agree with, but I think that even with all those flaws, he did enough right, and it's almost spectacularly to go over the top to get my 3 votes. Like, to get the idol despite being number 4 with the cake placement, it was like the popcorn reward, but almost more impressive that he still made that work somehow. He played Phoebe like a absolute fiddle. 3 points to David. 2 points. Pia, maybe it's something about you being on the podcast about your season 4 players, but I'm going to give 2 points to Harry. Like, he found the advantage. He wasn't the target and Phoebe was. He's obviously built great inroads at a pretty difficult swap. To believe AK in that moment is a scary thing to do, but he had the right read there. I love the way he offered up his ties post-merge. Like, just a lot of really great arguments from Harry. I like giving up the 2 votes. I like the social plays, like the big social moves. That's so fun for Harry. Like, he's just been great. So 2 points to Harry. And I'm going to give a point to AK, who I've been kind of crediting with a lot of points, and I think that that makes sense because he's been in the middle of these very dominant alliances. I don't know which way he will go, but I do think that like actions speak louder than edit, and his actions are that he's with Harry. So I feel like that's the dominant faction. It's a good spot for him. He's obviously saved Harry's advantage. He doesn't know what that is. It's a smart thing to do. It's a bold play, but they're, you know, credit to their relationship for that actually working out. And like, if it does end up saving Nick next time because Harry didn't waste it here, then that's really great for AK because he and Nick are good friends. So those are my points. Honorable mention to Mo, obviously has her numbers, is leading the alliance. And has kind of like her web, and we saw a lot of that play this week. Brooke, I think, is someone that could have been in consideration just because, you know, she finally got that revenge on Flick. But I do kind of wonder if that will come back to bite her and if maybe she's in the most trouble on that tribe and she's kind of misread AK there. I don't know, but I'm just going off the fact that AK would try and save Harry's advantage. I can't think that AK would be going for the Harry Shawnee contingent next, especially without the numbers to split if they're voting out Flick. So I think that that's the 3. I'm worried that Brooke maybe made the wrong move by voting out Flick if she and Lockie are on the bottom. So those are my points. Pia.
Good
job. Who are you giving points to?
Look, I'm kind of the same. I have to give my 3 points to Dave because I think that maybe the edit's not showing. I think was the edit so excited by his confessionals that we're not really seeing the understated game that he's playing. So from what I've heard, the game he's playing on the island is really understated. And then to have that in contrast with all the crazy stuff he's doing behind the scenes, I think that's just really clever gameplay. And I wish we'd see more of his gameplay and less of kind of the comedic confessionals, because I think there's something really cool going on there. And just, yeah, look, I mean, to get an idol when someone else gets the clue, I mean, that's just genius. And now he's got two. So you really can't give three to anyone else, I don't think, other than Dave. Two, I think I'm going to do the same as you. I'm going to give two to Harry because I think that Harry's done a really good job of being, I mean, I saw Harry and Shawnee, and I feel like sort of Harry takes the lead as far as Shawnee goes. And I may be wrong, but that's sort of what the edit shows. But I feel like Harry's done a really good job of having him and Shawnee at the bottom too. And now all of a sudden they're not at the bottom of this alliance of six. So I didn't see that coming, that they were really going to solidify themselves and move up the ladder. And I think that's a lot to do with Harry's moves. And I think the fact that he didn't, the bravery, the reason why I want to give him the 2 points is the bravery to not play that advantage when you're not 100% sure, but knowing that if you don't play it, that it's really going to solidify you in the trust with that group is pretty ballsy. So I think just for that, to be able to sit down and have the advantage in his pocket is really good. And look, I think I'm going to give one to Mo. I mean, I know we've talked about the lack of Mo's social game, but she's got a lot of power. And so I'm just going to have to give her credit for that. She's really sort of subtly running the tribe, and I think she's running Dave as well. And so the fact that Shan can vote for Mo and Mo's like, yep, I'm good with it, just stick with me, that's really good gameplay. So it's definitely not a vibrant, rambunctious kind of social game, but there's some sort of social game going on there.
It's the mo-tial game. Like, she doesn't want to play your typical social game, but she's going to do it her way, which is the mo-tial game. So big week for Dave. He wins the chizzy. AK, I got that 1 point. Mo got 1 point. But Harry, like, 4 points for Harry. I like the way he's playing.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm a little biased because I play with Harry and I enjoy his game. But, yeah, look, I think he's playing well. And I think the strength of Harry is that he knows how to play from the bottom, and not many people do.
One thing that I loved about Harry this week was that he was the one narrating the, like, the family items reward and talking about, like, the authenticity that something like that can bring to the game. And I'm like, you invented a child. Like, that just showed how far he come, that he was the one being like, this is when we can really know each other and it's genuine and it's real. And
Oscar.
It didn't used to be. It did not used to be real. So I think that just showed a lot of growth.
What's cute about Harry is that he's such a bot. Like, he's such a robot when he's playing Survivor. And he's hard to, like, you know, it takes a long time to get to know him well, but like the minute Jordan comes up, he just loses it. Mm-hmm. It's so sweet. Like, he just, every time like Jordan comes up, he just sort of, you have that moment of seeing Harry on Survivor. It's really emotional and beautiful because they're a beautiful couple, those two. So I really enjoyed it.
Well, he had revealed on the deep dive that they got engaged in the very short turnaround between seasons. So it was nice to see that on the show and get that some personal content. We need more, I think, personal content. So it's good to get it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's nice to have those moments because it's so hard out there, and it's just nice to remember that these are real people playing a really tough game. And sometimes you can do stuff like that doesn't come across well, but it doesn't reflect on the person that people are. It just reflects on the fact that the game is really crazy.
Yeah, and I think the edit has been, besides, I really enjoy the camp life scenes, like the talent show and everything like that. Some of the stuff is a bit ridiculous. Yeah, but, like, there's a lot of challenges. There's some very, like, specific camp life scenes, and then there's a lot of strategy. I really enjoy seeing the personal stuff, and I feel like it's actually been a bit lacking this season.
Yeah, and I think I would like to hear less Franken grabs. Like, honestly, the Franken grabs are killing me. Like, I was walking down the street. It's like, come on, just let the people talk. Like, don't mush up sentences to create something you want to create. That really annoys me. So just let people be people, I think. That's the stuff I enjoy.
Don't hold your breath, Pia. Like, this is Australian Survivor. Like, this is All Stars. This is what.
Is it? No one said that.
Well, you know, these poor people probably said this is an All Stars in three different conversations.
Exactly.
And it's just been reused.
It's so shocking when it's you. You're like, I didn't say that. It's just
that must
weird.
Be really scary. Yeah. I haven't actually thought about that from a player perspective of, like, that is not what I said.
When they put the subtitles, and you're like, I didn't say that.
Oh, my God. That's a lot, too. They should not be doing that. Didn't know they were doing that. Okay.
Yeah.
We should be able to believe the subtitles, Australian Survivor. Come on. Okay, if you want to rag on the show, actually the place to go is JLP tweets. So let's do that.
I love JLP tweets.
So, okay, well, before, so the first one he tweeted about was that first group of ads. Let's talk about that. I don't know, the ads everywhere were like, one of these five will go. It was Dave, it was Phoebe, Harry, Shawnee, and Matt, obviously, who went home.
Yeah.
And people really didn't like this. And honestly, fair.
I know. And it's always pretty obvious who is going home. So it's sort of, I don't know why they do it. I think.
Why narrow it down?
Why narrow it down to five? Like, let people have a surprise. Because of those five, you can sort of, as a viewer, you can be like, well, I know it's one of two. I mean, so you can narrow it down even further in your head. So, yeah, just don't do it. Also, then, you know, like, well, Matt's not going to get an idol tonight, because they never really put people in those ads that have idols.
Well, they put Dave. But like,
true, yeah.
But like, yeah, that made it even, it made it seem like Dave wouldn't get it, like wouldn't, you know, go home because he hasn't an idol. So he was one of the two people on that tribe. Then when they win the immunity challenge, like it goes from 5 to 3.
Yep.
For Vakama. It's just like, look, let me put this out there. None of the ads offer us. We're going to watch anyway. We'll complain about it, but we're definitely going to watch. So it's for the casuals. But honestly, like, I think the casuals hated this. Like, I won't go near the Facebook page, but I've heard they were mad. I definitely have, like, casual friends and family members who were mad about it. Did it bring in any other viewers? The ratings weren't significantly, or I don't think, like, higher by any, like, notable difference. And it just really made people angry. I don't like this style of advertising.
I think it would turn people off as well, because it really narrows down. Like, you've got so many people playing and you're like, well, I kind of know what's going to happen. I can just, you know, find out on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, by putting in Dave and Matt, they probably think, like, most people care to tune in to see if one of those two go home.
Yeah.
But
you're not going to get new viewers, though. Like, the people who are invested in those relationships are already watching. So I just think, they should, yeah, they did that on our season as well. Like, one of these four will go, and it was, like, pretty obvious who was going to go home. So I don't think it serves the show pretty very well.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. Any viewer or potential viewer who would fall for this type of advertising is not a viewer we want.
Exactly.
So we don't want to.
Yeah,
We don't want you to watch. Like, if you're only watching because you think one of Dave or Matt Rogers is going home and you haven't tuned in for 2 weeks, like, bye-bye. We don't actually want you to watch this show.
You don't know what's going on then.
I shouldn't turn away ratings because we actually desperately need them. Did I mention that someone on Married at First Sight put someone's toothbrush in the toilet? Like, it's a lot of competition.
I know. But you know what? I think as long as Survivor just stops trying to compete and sticks to what it should be, you know, those fans will be loyal. And I just think it's just hard that it's a primetime thing, and they had really good ratings last year. So I feel like sometimes they're, you know, editing for ratings, and I get why they're doing it. But as, like, old school fans, I think it's a bit hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we're never going to be Married at First Sight. It's like the TV event of the year, which may surprise our international listeners, but it really is. It's kind of strange. And it's hard and it's unfair because we don't have toothbrushes or toilets on the island. So
I know, but Aussies love people getting really pissed and then just, like, acting like crazy people. They should just let everyone on Survivor get really drunk for a night and just that'll be it. You know, watch people, like, shag and have punch-ups and then have great.
Yeah, I mean, that is Married at First Sight, except not on an island. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We should be beating Married at First Sight, and we shouldn't need these crazy ads.
It's a better show.
I think we all agree. Hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast, you agree. I'm sorry for insulting it if you do like it, but honestly, that guy should be arrested for putting someone's toothbrush in a toilet. Okay.
That's really gross.
To JLP. So he commented on that, like, a picture of those five. Mm-hmm. Any of these legends go, I'm going to flip a table and stop watching this stupid show, at least for 23 hours. Hashtag Schmitty out. I don't know what. Does anyone know what that is?
What's Schmitty? What is Schmitty?
I don't know what that is.
I saw him tweet that. I'm like, what's Schmitty out?
Yeah, I was too busy investigating extra vote and vote steal rules across countries to look into this. If anyone knows, let me know, because this seems like completely random. And I also think that production made him add at least for 23 hours. Like, knowing JLP, I feel like the tweet he wanted to tweet was like, I'm never watching again.
Again, and they'd be like, no. He must have to, like, just okay his tweets with people. Although they're pretty loose with us. Like, they let us do what we want. But
JLP is on, like, two strikes, though, to be fair.
Yeah, and I have heard that they, you know, they do sort of pull people up if you put some crazy stuff on your social media. It's like, you can't do it. So, Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, he likes to go rogue. He likes to go rogue.
He does. Okay. He also tweeted, doesn't need to be pretty to get the job done. Right, Nick? About the swimming. And I can't tell if he was like trying to, if it was like a euphemism, but I thought I would put it into the podcast just in case it was. So better safe than sorry.
I saw that one and it didn't get it. I'm like, I thought Nick's swimming was really graceful. So I don't know why. But maybe was it wasn't.
He got the job done. He won.
The job done. So. You know what? He did. No, look, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed JLK's tweets.
I also enjoyed after that when they were like trying to decide who would go to the cake first. And Nick's like, what about people who got points today?
I know.
What about people whose names start with an N? It rhymes with stick.
But then we wouldn't have had the beauty of Nick going last and just massacring the cakes, which was really cute.
Hey, I would take Nick going first and getting the clue. That to me is the best timeline. So, yeah.
Tell me he's going to be okay.
You tell me he's going to be okay.
I don't know. I can't.
It's going to be a stressful weekend.
I just want Merge to come, actually, and then I can breathe. I don't know why. I just want everyone to be all right. So I've still got a few mates out there. Like, I'm still rooting for Dave and Harry, you know, just because you can't get rid of those old school alliances.
At least your season 4 friends have advantages. Like, Nick has nothing. True. I'm very concerned.
I know. And look, Nick's definitely on my love list.
For sure. We love that on the podcast. JLP also tweeted, well done finding the clue, Phoebe. Now toss it in the jungle, girl. This was shady because people were like on her for not tossing it in the jungle. And then she tweeted being like, she wasn't allowed. So like,
he might not have known that though.
How connected to the production process is JLP?
Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I think JLP is like, he works really hard. Like, JLP is a hardworking guy. He doesn't just roll up and not know his lines. Like, you see him like practicing and he is fully professional. But I think all that sort of, all that sort of stuff, he probably wouldn't know like the ins and outs of the little rules.
Fair enough. Yeah. Like that, you know, he's got enough going on without knowing whether Phoebe can or can't toss the.
And also, I wish they told me because I'm like, what the hell is she doing?
Yeah.
Like, I'd known because I watched it after she tweeted about it. But I was like, why is she covering it in sand and just leaving it there?
It did make her look dumb. Also, in the past, they've been able to throw it. But I guess this is more interesting because then she has the worry of it. Like, I mean, yeah, I don't hate it. Yeah. It's like the rule that you can't just throw it into the jungle. It's almost too easy. Yeah.
But they just sort of wish they'd told us because it did make her look a bit weird.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much time when you have to show that many butts and the
cake
and everything.
I know, so many naked men.
So true. JLP also said, the look on Mo's face trying to figure out how the vote tied with 9 people, priceless. This is shady. This whole segment was funny to me. The fact that Jackie was like, Jonathan, was there an advantage played? Like, she just worked out, like, some cold case. It's like, yeah, it's like, what else could it have been?
And Jonathan's, like, face was like, he was like, it pretty much seems that way.
You tell me, Jackie. Like,
I just liked Mo going, like, her face, and she's like, there's not 10 people.
How would that work? What could this be? That's, like, kind of, like, the equivalent of a non-elimination episode happening, and then they walk into the challenge the next day and JLP is like, no one voted out, and Jackie being like, wait, was there a non-elimination episode last night? And it's like, yes, Jackie.
What do you think, Jackie?
What else could, like, you, I genuinely am struggling to see what else it possibly could have been. Some questions answer themselves. Like,
very funny.
Oh, that made me laugh so hard.
I just liked his reaction when he was just like, you're kidding me, right?
You know, like, sometimes no one else is asking the question because they've just put 2 and 2 together, not verbally. Sorry.
Yeah. You are hungry, though. Like, you do become a bit stupid out there. Like, I felt
No,
you know,
no judgment. It just made me
sometimes
laugh.
Sometimes you'd be, like, trying to make, you know, trying to add the numbers up, and your brain's just like, I can't even work out how to split votes right now because I just need some protein.
So you need an accountant spelled AJ. AK's spelling has been way more of a running theme this season than I anticipated.
I was like, why does no one know how to spell Phoebe?
That was also concerning, wasn't it?
I know. It's like, really? Like, no one knows how to spell Phoebe?
You also
bizarre.
Voted for her last time. Why are you having this conversation now? I need to go back to her first vote at the 5 vote and see how incorrectly her names were spelled. Mm. To be fair, Tarzan, I think Mo was asking, and she actually did vote for Phoebe. I'm confused about why this has changed in the last few days.
Yeah.
Okay, so JLP also tweeted, Damn, all my nut jokes got cut from the challenge. Some of my best work to boot. So you guys think you need to complain about the editing because there's no confessionals or whatever. JLP is actually the one being purple and it's all nut jokes.
I know. And I would have liked, look, I've complained about balls a little bit in this podcast, but I would have liked to see JLP like crack some nut jokes.
Yeah, I love that JLP is now complaining about his edit, but only through the prism of nut jokes. The next tweet he tweeted was also in a similar vein. He said, Harry straight up has big brass ones, all caps, not playing his advantage, respect. And in this podcast, we do call that rhino balls. So
yeah, right. Rhino balls, good.
That is the verbiage that the International Survivor podcast uses.
So I like it.
JLP just shading everyone and just letting everyone know, like, if there weren't any nut jokes, it was just because they didn't show him, not because he didn't say them, which is important information.
Exactly. He's just showing everyone he's the boss and he gets it.
And now a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And we are back. All right. So we have some questions from the listeners for you, Pia.
Yeah.
Edward Morris asks, how did you feel about Abby's comments on the show? And I assume this means kind of in regard to the fact that she really changed a lot of her tact to trying to vote out social players because you won. So as a friend of hers and someone who played with her, what did you think of that?
I mean, I thought she was smart. I think they probably didn't do her great. They probably did her a little disservice in the edit by sort of just picking out the moments when she was like, we've got to keep the strong people. But what she was really saying is she wanted to go into merge with strong people as shields, which is a really smart move for Abby. And she said, you know, like last time and the time before, like the social players are the little sneaky ones. If social players get to merge, then really, like, they've got a pretty good ride to the end. So I think it was really good gameplay, and it's sad that it didn't play out for her because she was smart.
Yeah, I think she did well. Like, the way that we completely commend social players like you, Pia, who do so well and are so threatening in that regard, we cannot begrudge players for finding that threatening and wanting to take it out. It's a good thing. I hope that, I don't hope social players get taken out, but I do hope that that gets recognized and that does get respect in the game because it is obviously such a threatening and skillful thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just as valid as people seem to be very forgiving of people saying they want to get the strong players out. So it was funny that she copped a bit of flack for saying she wanted to get the social players out, but I guess just because they kept just sort of reiterating that she wanted to keep strength around. But, you know, for someone like Abby to go into merge, Abby, who's really good at individual challenges, she wants strong people around to be a buffer so that they don't come for her first.
Yeah, and like she is, like, she's complimenting the things we value as a fandom. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And she's absolutely right too. Like, you know, she's absolutely right. People like myself or Shawnee or the really social players, once we get to merge, people want to keep us around.
I've said it at length, but I definitely agree. Kristen Zucht asks, what would Pia's talent be in the Makuta talent show?
Oh, you know what? I used to be a dancer and I do pretty good, like, daggy 1980s jazz ballet, like, you know, really bad jazz. So I would have put on a bit of a jazz ballet show.
That would have been really fun.
Yeah. Like, remember Solid Gold? You know those kind of dances? Yeah, I would
I
have.
I don't.
Oh, no, you're too young. Like, just a really daggy kind of, cross between jazz ballet and some aerobics. I think I really would.
Dancing with the Stars is on Sunday nights. Like, where are you?
I'm okay. I need a break.
That's what we want to see. If you want to go back on the island, you got to hit the stage. That would actually get me a watch as well.
I used to joke all the time. I'd walk up to tribal count. Like, I'd walk up to the challenges and I'd be like, Jonathan, is it a dance-off today? Like, that was always my question. He'd be like, not today.
They did that once. They did that in Survivor Fiji season 14, the Meke.
Damn.
That was a dance challenge, so
I would have nailed it.
Also, charades, like, you're literally an actress. Where are your challenges?
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, they should definitely do a dance and a charades challenge. I hope that comes
up. Yeah, yeah.
We actually answered a lot. So I don't have any more questions, but I do have this from Survivor Aya, who says, I don't even have a question. Can you just tell Pia she's awesome? Such a fun character and great to see a smart social player run a whole season.
Thank you.
We got a lot of that. So a lot of people were saying nice things, but I couldn't put in one comment. Not going to put in all 10, you know.
Thank you.
But Pia, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. What is the hashtag? I've got hashtag Moshal game is an option and hashtag naked strategy. If people want to get their social game, their strategy out, let's do it naked.
So, hashtag too many balls. I don't know.
Hashtag. Yeah. That's, I mean, I don't love what else could come up with naked strategy, too many balls, so maybe we should do Mochel game.
Hashtag, Mochel game. Let's not go down that path, because you never know what we might. It's a Pandora's box in itself.
I've definitely put hashtags out there in the past, and I'm like, what is going to happen if people click on this? And like, you can't, I don't want to be promoting But Pia, where can people find you on social media to see more of your thoughts? I've seen you tweeting about Winners at War as well. So, you know, where can people find you?
I know, I'm always _ Pia Miranda, and I do. I tweet a lot about Winners at War because it's giving me life.
Yes, I mean, we just missed it. We just missed it live while we were recording this.
I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm so excited.
I'm going to watch it pretty much ASAP as soon as I'm done editing this and putting this out.
It's like every kind of warm bubble of just years of Survivor. It's just making me so happy. I'm just going to get a bowl of ice cream and watch it after
dinner. I said to my husband last week, I'm like, it's just like going to Disneyland for 42 minutes a week.
Totally.
So a lot of fun stuff there. You guys can follow me for all my stuff at Shannon Gates on Instagram and Twitter. Subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed, where you will get all of this content, which includes this podcast. Survivor Global is back this week for Winners at War with Mike Fenta from Survivor South Africa. Pia, we're hoping to get on the mic to discuss Winners at War at a point as well. So
yay,
that would be really fun, and hopefully we can work that out. Exit interviews with John, Matt, Phoebe, and Flick, who I'm going to be talking to this afternoon. I'm going to put those all out in the same podcast. That'll be out soon. Next week, the recap is with Mike Bloom. So I'm really excited to chat to Mike about it. One of my favorite people to talk to in general, let alone about Survivor. So that's happening. That's all under International Survivor Hap-Ups. Please do subscribe, tell your friends, rate us, all the things. I don't actually know how iTunes works, but do things that help us. And it's been great seeing like how much the podcasts have been listened to. I think we've been like second in the country every week, which is cool because it's a split feed with reality TV or Hap-Ups. And I'm hoping we can get to number one, but I'm happy with number two. Thank you guys for everything. And Talking Tribal is still happening. This week, the guest was Usher Ginsburg. Ginsburg. The host of The Bachelor, of The Masked Singer, the person AK was impersonating earlier in the season. So we played some trivia, talked about the show. That's Talking Tribal. It's a podcast and obviously a show on 10play. And the trivia, I think, is going to be shared on social media. So if you can't watch it internationally and are just listening to the podcast, that will come out at a point. So that's all I got. Pia, thank you so much for coming to break down this episode with me.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. We love having you on the podcast. Have a winner on the podcast is so great. So thank you so much.
Always
thanks to
fun.
Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thanks to the listeners. And I will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
£1 million.
The adventure of a lifetime.